to do this again. Today's sermon is going to be on John 15, verses 1 to 17. So let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. All right. So this is a pretty tough passage, but I just want to first start off by saying I'm not going to pull any punches, but I'm not speaking down to you. I'm right there with you. We're all sinful. We're all children of God. We all have to serve Jesus in the same way, just like Jason said earlier. Just because I'm up here preaching doesn't mean I'm also not down there in the pew having to actually live out what I preach, right? But I'm not going to pull punches because these aren't my words being spoken. And I think this is one of the clearest passages that Jesus has ever given about what the gospel is, how we live it out, who we are in Christ. And so, well, it starts in verse 1, so let's read it. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they are gathered and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to really dissect the word of your Son, the truth and the command of your Son. Father, help us, fill us with your Spirit. Help us to live these things out, to truly teach them properly, and to truly love your word and prove that love by keeping the commandments of Christ, and to do that which he asked us to fully understand him and to live our life in perfect union with one another, in love with one another, not just among our brothers, but also our neighbors. Lord, have mercy on us, grant us wisdom, and help us to walk in the command of your Son. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, so Jesus definitely wasn't being vague here. Apart from it, obviously, it's a parable. He's just giving an example of him and the Father. In fact, in verse 1, I think Jesus immediately just destroys like three heresies. He says, "I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser." And by the way, heresy just simply means error. It's just a philosophical or theological error about God and who God is. And Jesus says, "I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser." So obviously, God is not Unitarian. He's not singular. A mere creature can't be the true vine by which you get revelation, by which you get eternal life. I mean, that would be blasphemy, right? But Jesus makes a distinction between him and the Father. In fact, he calls the Father the vine dresser. He gives the Father this title. And so if God has this title and he relies on a creature for that title, that's a little odd, right? Because you can't be a vine dresser without a vine. I mean, you can call yourself a vine dresser. I mean, we have in this generation, you can call yourself anything, right? But you can't be an actual vine dresser unless you have a vine. Not only that, but they're unified in their role, in their purpose. A vine dresser needs a vine. A vine needs a vine dresser. They are one. Just as Jesus said earlier, he says, if you had known me, you would have also known my Father. You know a vine by the vine dresser. If you go to a vine, if you go to a vineyard, you look at the vine, it's beautiful, it's well taken care of. You know something about the vine dresser. Just as when you look at a piece of art, you know something about the artist. Just as when we look at Jesus, we see, we know the Father. And so the other thing he destroys is this idea of deism, which is that God is just this distant deity. He just spun out the world, spun out the universe, and now he just sits on his throne, watches everything just take place. Well, no, Jesus says, my Father is the vine dresser. What does a vine dresser do? It's all manual labor, completely manual labor. You're working hard day and night, season after season, ensuring that the crop is going to grow, that the fruit is going to bear. That's how he describes the Father. Intimate, personal, going to the branches, pruning, ensuring they're cleaned, ensuring their health. That's how he depicts the Father. So this idea that God is distant, that's just a falsehood that Jesus completely destroys in one sentence. Not only that, he destroys the idea of modalism, which is that the Father turned into Jesus, who turned into the Holy Spirit. Well, no. He says right here, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I'm over here, my Father's over there. We're two separate entities, two separate people, you know? And so Jesus is not saying that I am the Father. He says I am in the Father earlier, but he never says I am the Father. In fact, right here in verse 1, he makes a distinction between him and the Father and the roles that they play. So they're two people, two separate people. And so now that we've got over that, let's go to verse 2. It says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Wait, so Jesus, what are you saying? I mean, how am I supposed to bear fruit if you don't prune me first? Well, if you're a vine dresser or if you're a farmer and you don't see the plant that you're growing, budding fruit, or you don't see the branch in this case because it's on a grapevine, if you don't see the branch bearing fruit, what do? You cut it off because you don't want it to contaminate the rest of the vine. And so Jesus says, if you don't want my Father to cut you off, if you want to be pruned, you have to bear fruit. If you want to bear more fruit, you have to already have fruit to bear. In other words, you're not going to get pruned. You're not going to bear more fruit if you don't have fruit to show. In fact, elsewhere in the Gospel of Luke, I'm going off memory, but Jesus says, to the one who has, more will be given, but to the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And so in the same way, Jesus says, if you want to be pruned, if you want to bear fruit, you got to have fruit. And he says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And so this is interesting because notice what Jesus never says. You know, we always often go to what Jesus does say, but we can sometimes infer something about what Jesus doesn't say. He never says, I am the only vine. He says, I am the true vine. In fact, the Greek word really just means real. So he would rather just say, I am the real vine and my Father is the vine dresser, or the true vine, as most translations put it. But he never says, I am the only vine, because trust me, folks, there are many, many vines in this world. So many vines. Buddhism is a vine. Hinduism is a vine. Mormonism is a vine. Muslims have their own vine. All of these religions have a vine to which they have branches, to which they have fruit. Atheists bear fruit. Mormons bear fruit. So there's got to be something unique about the fruit in the vine here. Jesus says, I'm the true vine. and my father, the vine dresser. The difference between those vines and their vine dressers is they're not Jesus's father. It's a statement about who Jesus's father is. Jesus cannot be the true vine without his father being the vine dresser. The difference between those vines over there and that true vine is the fruit that it bears. And obviously you need to be a good vine dresser to bear good fruit. It depends on the vine as well. And so Jesus being that vine, we can't have this kind of fruit. And I'm about to explain what that kind of fruit is. But first, before we explain that, because that's so important, keep that in the back of your mind. Let's ask Jesus, well, okay, we have to bear this fruit. You are not the only vine. You're the true vine. Okay, so how do we bear this fruit, Jesus? He says, if you don't abide in me, he says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Well, Jesus, what does that mean? I mean, be clear here. Well, he says it in verse 10. He says, if you keep my commandments, do what I command you, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So Jesus lays it out pretty clear. He says, if you want to abide in me, you got to keep my commandments. Well, that doesn't sound like faith alone. I thought we just believe and that's it. And then we're going to heaven. We get our ticket punched. We go to heaven. We just get on the train and that's it. We're on board. No, Jesus says, if you want to abide in me, you need to keep my commandments. And why does he say that? Why does he use the vine as that picture? Because when you see a branch that's not bearing fruit, you cut it off. And what happens to that branch? It says, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. That sounds a lot like hell. I mean, you could say, well, you know, it's not actually hell. Jesus is saying, no, it's hell. He says, if you don't have fruit, my Father's going to cut you off of me and throw you into hell. Wow. And so also, Jesus says, keep my commandments. What is that commandment, Jesus? Jesus lays it all out in this passage. It's amazing. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, that's it. Well, I love other people. I mean, yeah, you know, I see that homeless guy, you know, I say, what's up? You know, he looks like he needs a lot of help, but I just pass him by. I acknowledge him. I give him a couple bucks. No, Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. Well, what do you mean, Jesus, by love? He qualifies it. Do you notice something about this passage? Jesus leaves no room for interpretation. He qualifies it. He says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And guys, that doesn't necessarily mean death. It means putting your life down for someone else. That's what Jesus commands you. And if you don't do that, you burn in hell. That's what Jesus says. Not me. I'm not going to pull punches. I'm right there with you guys. If we don't love others as Jesus loved us, we will burn in hell. That's exactly what Jesus says. And it hurts. It hurts a lot. But let's talk about something lighter. We're going to go back to the fruit that Jesus bears, what that fruit is, why we have to bear that fruit, and why Jesus is the true vine, and we can't go to these other vines that are much easier. Well, that's because, and a good example of this is in the first miracle that Jesus does at the wedding at Cana. A good example of this is what they would do at these Jewish weddings is they would give you the best wine that they have first, so that when everybody is drunk in the wedding, then they would pass out the cheaper wine, the lesser wine, so that it could sustain them throughout the rest of the party. Well, they ran out. Their wine didn't endure, right? And so Jesus comes on the scene. His mother asks him, Jesus, can you do something about this? And Jesus does it. He listens to his mother. He does what she says. He creates wine from water. And what does the master of the banquet say? Guys, the master of the banquet looks and he says, usually we save the best wine first and then the worst wine we give out last, but you have saved the best wine until now. So what's different about the fruit of Jesus? Guys, the grapevine produces wine, if you guys weren't aware. The fruit of Jesus does something different, and it's exemplified in that miracle. And Jesus explains, he says in verse 16, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." Did you catch it? Let's read it again. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain." There it is. Just like everything else Jesus qualifies, he leaves it up to no interpretation. He says, "Your fruit, my fruit, the fruit you bear in me, it remains forever." What happened at the wedding at Cana? Their fruit did not remain. Jesus came. He had the best fruit, the true fruit, and it remained until the end. And so when we are in Christ, when we keep his commandments, all of the fruit that we bear remains forever. That's why Jesus says, "Unless you bear fruit, my Father has to cut you off." But folks, we are not distant from God. God is not a rude God. He loves that vine. If you've ever met a vine dresser, they'll tell you their favorite thing is working on their vine. Pruning the branches, taking care of the branches. The Father's not just going to see you in one season, you're not bearing fruit, okay, I'm cutting you off, bye-bye. No, he's going to make sure that that branch is going to bear fruit as much as he possibly can. Unless he's just going to waste money, I mean, that's pointless. He works hard all day long. Why would he just cut off a random branch? No, he is there with you, helping you, guiding you. He says right here, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." By the way, guys, that word, he prunes, that means to cleanse. You cleanse the vine. And so he's saying, you are already clean. You are pruned by my word. When you read the words of Christ, the word of God, you become pruned and you're ready to bear fruit. So in order to bear fruit, we need to abide in Christ. In order to abide in Christ, we have to keep his commandments, and our fruit remains forever. And so I said I wouldn't pull any punches, but I think the point of Jesus here, even though it's really scary, really tough, is verse 17. He says, "These things I command you, that you love one another." In other words, this is my command. If you want any command, you can go to my Sermon on the Mount. You can go to this command that I gave you offshoot to my disciples. But here's my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. And so the call is for us to keep the commands of Christ. And what is the first and greatest command that Christ himself gave? He says, love God. That is with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if you love God, you'll keep his command. And what is his command? Be baptized into me, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, into my name. That's what Jesus said. And so if we want to keep the commands of Christ, we must be baptized. I'm not speaking these words. Listen, guys, I'm just being honest. This is what Jesus says. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." He said, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." So if you don't want to be that branch that gets burned, keep the commands of Christ, love one another, and we are here to encourage one another and to be there for one another. So be baptized into Christ. If you don't know Christ yet, be baptized into his name. He commands you. And also, if you have sinned gravely, Scripture tells us to confess our sins to one another. And God is right and just to forgive us of our sins. So let's confess our sins, if we have them, which we all do. And let's ask for the forgiveness of God. Why don't you come forward as together we stand and sing?